Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is Professor Michael Bernhock, a specialist on technology and privacy issues at Tel Aviv University's Buchman Faculty of Law. Professor, to help trace coronavirus infections, the Shin Bet, Israel's internal security service, has been mobilized to track people through the movement of their cell phones. It's a controversial enough policy, even with legislative oversight. But now there's word that the Shin Bet may have been tracking rank and file Israeli citizens all along, and without the knowledge of some who should have known, such as cellular providers and even legislators. Does this mean Israel is already well on the proverbial slippery slope?
This is a very good question. During COVID-19, the Israeli government has indeed used the Shin Bet's services, so to speak, in tracking people, or more precisely contact tracing, to prevent the further spread of the disease. The other day, Raviv Drucker on Channel 13 revealed that the Shin Bet has been doing more than that. Not recently, but in a few years ago, and nobody really knows whether that still goes on. There are some questions here, and there's much mystery, and I'm not in a position to know what exactly the Shin Bet does or does not. And that exactly is part of the problem. There is no transparency, not surprising when we are talking about a security service.
How many other countries are known to do this to their citizens? Are these countries considered outliers? Does this practice correlate with a particular level of adherence to democracy?
Israel seems to be unique among democracies in using its security service for contact tracing. That's for sure. We have seen that or such use in non-democratic countries, especially China, but I do not know of any other democracy that has been doing that. By the way, Israel has been doing two things at the same time. One is using the Shin Bet, as discussed, and at the same time, the Ministry of Health has developed an application which is for voluntary use by the citizens, similar to many other applications that we've seen in other countries. As for the recent revelations of Drucker about the Shin Bet more extensive wiretapping or eavesdropping or God knows what, well, we have seen such cases, especially in the United States. This seems to be the essence of Edward Snowden's revelations about what the NSA has been doing, at least in the past, and I do not know what they're doing right now.
You are listening to Professor Michael Bernhock, a specialist on technology and privacy issues at Tel Aviv University's Buchman Faculty of Law. What are a citizen's rights to privacy in a democracy, and how far can a ticking bomb scenario be allowed to infringe on these rights?
Privacy is a fundamental human right in democracies, and I would hope in other places as well. This is also the case in Israel, where the basic law on human dignity and liberty explicitly protects Israelis' privacy rights. Now, human rights and privacy in this case, they're not absolute. And that's always a challenge which we deal with under the heading of constitutional law. And when needed, we need to balance. We need to balance privacy in this case against other needs, such as security needs, or, you know, sometimes just efficiency. The question is how best to do such balancing. And under Israeli law, the basic law offers the scheme for that balancing. By the way, it's very similar to what we find in Europe under the European Convention on Human Rights. First, the need to breach privacy should be anchored in law. There should be a statute or regulation that explicitly authorizes the police or security service or whoever it is to do what they are doing. Secondly, this should be for a legitimate aim. The goal, the purpose should be, you know, reasonable, something that is acceptable in democracies. And thirdly, and probably most importantly, most important in most cases, is proportionality. The means used should fit the end, and they should use only the minimum privacy-invasive means. So each case is on its own, collecting data for blocking, hindering, curtailing the spread of COVID-19. I think everybody would agree that that is a legitimate aim. Of course, the details matter a lot so that we can assess whether this is proportional or not. In terms of national security, well, that's a bit more tough, but in a democracy, under the rule of law, I would expect there to be legislative authorization and at least minimal judicial oversight. Whether this is the case with the recent revelations by Dulker, I do not know. And once again, that is part of the problem, lack of transparency.
The world seems to be getting more dangerous even on a daily basis. Should citizens be ready to surrender some of their rights to privacy for the public good?
Well, you know, it's one thing when citizens surrender their rights on their own will, voluntary, when we ask questions and we provide answers, not because we have to, but because we understand that that may enhance the public good. In the context of pandemics, that is social solidarity. We often give something not so convenient to us, and we do so in order to achieve better situation for everybody else, including ourselves, at least in the long run. And we do that with security all the time. We give lots of information, even though each and every one of us knows that he or she are not terrorists. Nevertheless, we do agree to undergo security checks in airports, at least in the days when we still traveled, and similar things. So this is, you know, we can do that. However, for those that are unwilling to cooperate in a democracy, Israel included, of course, we have the constitutional scheme which should address these human rights and offer proper balance, if needed, once again, with judicial oversight.
Professor Michael Bernhock, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.